Scalpel with Dr. Keith Rose. Cutting down to the truth through history and experience, The Scalpel is proudly sponsored by Z-Bone's Bone Conducting Headphones. Learn more at zbones.io. Subscribe to The Scalpel wherever you listen to podcasts. Follow us on Instagram at The Scalpel Podcast, on Twitter at The Scalpel Edge, or the website scalpeledge.com. The next episode of The Scalpel starts now.
Scalpel. This is Dr. Keith Rose. Last time we had a podcast, we talked about the coronavirus. Tried to give you a little heads up and a little background to what's actually going on with it. And towards the second half of this podcast, we're going to revisit that today. But first, I want to start out with this Democrat primary for president of the United States and what it says about us. What it says about the Democrats. When I say us, I want to say constitutional conservatives, because I just self-identify as, you know, an American constitutional conservative, someone that loves this nation with all my heart. That's the reason I get up at 4:35 in the morning and come in and prep and do this podcast. But I also want to look at this from an optic of where's our country going and what can we as free people do about it? Because we live in the greatest country in the world. We live in a country that, while not perfect, is part of a grand experiment that has survived, and meaning our constitutional republic, longer than any other constitutional republic in the history of the world. And by quite a margin, I would add, because I think the nearest competing constitutional republic longevity is about 16 or 17 years, while ours is pushing past 234 years. So how do we keep it? Well, one, we need to recognize what's going on in politics today, in our country today, because we have the Democrat field for president of the United States narrowing down. It's kind of focusing down to just a few folks. Pete Buttigieg, Amy Klobuchar, they graciously bowed out. They didn't have a chance anyway. And I'm still flummoxed at how Pete Buttigieg is even on the world or the national stage as a presidential candidate. I mean, I guess if you can be a failed mayor from a small town and become nominee for Democrat presidential candidate, then I guess anyone can do it. But we're narrowing down now, and our choices are between very bad, horribly worse, and non-existent. Because the new Democrat presidential field is socially woke but constitutionally broke. And they're wrapping themselves in invincible ignorance. They're able to do that because they have a Praetorian Guard mainstream media that locks shields around them and protects them from themselves. Or they try to protect them from the American electorate, meaning they want to craft the message for them. We play a lot of clips here, a lot from Grabian and other news sites. And what we see are well-choreographed messaging coming from the Democrat Party. And I will tell you right now, I believe that messaging machine is working on overdrive. I mean, all cylinders are pumping faster than they've ever pumped before, because they have to protect the Democrat brand. And that is a brand that basically is becoming schizophrenic and falling apart. On one hand, you had just had Super Tuesday. Well, Super Thursday if you're Joe Biden, but Super Tuesday for everybody else. And Bernie Sanders and Joe Biden appear to be running neck and neck, and this has caused quite a consternation in the Democrat Party. The Democrat Party is concerned because, you see, like the Republican Party, the Democrat Party has an establishment. They have a rank and file. They have legions of attorneys, legions of consultants that want to guide and maneuver whoever they have for presidential candidate, whoever they pick for the presidential candidate, to the Oval Office, and then basically, I guess, tell them what to do. I know the Republicans have done that in the past. It just, a big monkey wrench got thrown into the Republican side of the swamp, the establishment, and his name was Donald J. Trump. And in full disclosure, I love President Trump. I love President Trump because he loves America and he is making it great again. That's not supposition. That's not my opinion. Those are just the facts on the table. Problem is, the Democrats don't want to recognize facts. As Joe Biden says, they don't want to get facts confused with the truth because they look at actual truth as irrelevant and then they just make up what they want to tell you. Now, over the weekend, I got to spend some great time with my wife, and we watched a movie that I'd always wanted to see on pay-per-view the other night called Ford versus Ferrari. And there was a part in that movie I thought, man, does that not sum up what a lot of the establishment is or what you are up against today? Anyone who's seen the movie, and if you haven't, I'll just give you a brief recap. Ford versus Ferrari talks about Carroll Shelby and Ken Miles. Carroll Shelby was basically a racer. He had been in World War II. He was kind of a wild man. He even ran a chicken ranch for a while. But his desire was to build and make cars. And he got connected with Ford Motor Company because Ford Motor Company realized they wanted to compete on the world stage with quality, not just quantity. And we're going to circle back to that later. But they wanted to have quality. So Carroll Shelby understood one thing. You could build the greatest car in the world. I mean, the most highly technical, sufficient car. But if you didn't have the proper driver, that car wasn't worth the metal that was in it. It wasn't worth the electronics that were in it. It's not worth the design, the paper it was printed on, if it doesn't have a driver that understands the car. So he goes out, Carroll Shelby, and recruits Ken Miles. And Ken Miles is a maverick. He's from England, and he's a wild man. He's a little bit stubborn. His nickname's Bulldog. So Carroll Shelby has to try to come and talk Ken Miles into working with him, with the massive Ford Motor Company, to create an amazing car so that they can compete in Le Mans, the big race in France. And they're going up against Ferrari, who wins it every year. So as Carroll Shelby recruits Ken Miles, Ken Miles is a lot smarter than being just a driver and a car designer. He understands bureaucracies, is sitting at a cafe with Ken Miles and trying to talk him into coming and work with him on a design team to work for Ford Motor Company. Ken kind of brings Shelby back to reality, because he wants him to understand that while we may have all the money in the world, we're dealing with a lot of people that make a lot of decisions. And Ken's not really sold on working with that large, massive group to create something specialized, something special, something that's actually going to work. He doesn't have a lot of confidence in vote by committee or decision by committee. And he expresses it to Carroll Shelby like this.
Have you ever been to Detroit? I mean, they have floors and floors of lawyers and millions of marketing guys, and they're all going to want to meet you. Oh, they're going to want to get their photo taken with the great Carroll Shelby, and they're going to kiss your ass, and they're going to go back to their lovely offices, and they're going to work out new ways to screw you. Why? Because they can't help it, because they just want to please their boss, who wants to please his boss, who wants to please his boss. And they hate themselves for it, but deep down, who they hate even more are guys like you, because you're not like them, because you don't think like them, because you're different.
That's right. They hate guys that are different. They like guys that conform. They like folks that they can understand exactly what they're doing, so in their committees, in their groups, in their group think, they can move a giant organism forward at the speed of a drifting continent instead of launching forward and building something great, something spectacular. Because to do that takes risk. And a large group has a lot of problem with risk, especially when they're comfortable in their office. And that's what we're seeing in the Democrat primary today. You see, the Democrat primary has basically been the chum that has drawn the establishment to the surface. An actual communist slash Marxist point to total socialist Bernie Sanders is giving Joe Biden a run for his money. And Joe has a lot more money now due to the various deals he's done around the world when he was vice president. But that's another day and another story. Right now, though, the establishment's nervous because Bernie's chummed the surface and he's bringing him out. So everyone's panicked. They've decided we've got to get Joe Biden elected. All the folks in their cubicles that want to be like everybody else, they've decided we need one of us. Now, anyone paying moderate attention to what's going on in this primary season has watched Joe Biden trip over his tongue so many times that I'm amazed that he can walk two steps. I mean, Joe Biden has always been king of the gaffes, but I'll tell you, as a physician, and I'm not diagnosing him, I'm just telling you what I see. This appears to be someone that is not in complete grasp of his faculties. Like the neurons are not clicking on all cylinders, hat tip Ford versus Ferrari. Joe is not a fine engine. He's not a reinvention of something else to make it better to compete on the world stage or the world racetrack. No, Joe is he's a throwback, but he's someone that the suits can control. If you really want to understand politics, look at Joe Biden. Why would a party, the Democrat Party, put Joe Biden up in front when Joe Biden doesn't even understand where he is half the time? Tucker Carlson put out a great piece on this yesterday, and I'm not going to reinvent the wheel. I'll just play you what the montage Tucker put together, and then we'll talk about old Joe. Cut three.
Look, tomorrow's Superstar Tuesday, and I want to thank you all. I tell you what, I'm rushing ahead, aren't I?
150 million people have been killed since 2007 when Bernie voted to exempt the gun manufacturers from liability.
It would put 720 million women back in the workforce.
Nobody should be in jail for a nonviolent crime.
My name's Joe Biden. I'm a Democratic candidate for the United States Senate.
What's not to like about Vermont in terms of the beauty of it? And what a neat town.
He said that when he was in New Hampshire.
Make sure the television, make sure you have the record player on at night.
Poor kids are just as bright and just as talented as white kids.
We choose science over fiction. We choose truth over facts.
Think about it. We hold these truths to be self-evident. All men and women created by you know the thing.
I mean, Joe Biden can't even quote the Declaration of Independence in a small section correctly. He tells us that 150 million people are killed by gun violence. Well, that would be half the nation. He tells us 720 million women. That's amazing that we have 720 million women in a country of 330 million people, but I don't think Joe's quite with us. He says, I'm glad I'm in Iowa when he's in New Hampshire. Joe's not here. Well, he's waiting for Super Thursday, although we just had Super Tuesday, and I'm sure everybody's seen the fact that when he was in front of the panel on Super Tuesday, he turned to his sister, and he introduced his sister as his wife. But Joe's all they have. Joe's all the establishment has. They're scared to death of Bernie Sanders. So they've seen the movie Weekend at Bernie's, and they've realized, hey, we've got to prop up basically a dead person, at least intellectually dead. I think he's been morally broke probably deceased for a long time, but intellectually now and cognitively, he's certainly not firing on all cylinders, but the Democrat Party has to stand him up. They don't have any other choice. They're going up against Bernie Sanders.
All I'm saying is, why don't we just pretend he didn't die?
Yeah. Weekend at Bernie's. Let's just pretend he didn't die. And we'll just carry the dead guy around all week so people think he's still alive. Now, the movie was kind of funny. I mean, it made a little bit of money. But the actual reality of a Weekend at Bernie's using Joe Biden as the cognitively deceased person is nothing to laugh at. And you would think the American citizens would look at this and go, we can't have this guy. But actually, you can. When you have a mainstream media led by Joe and Mika Brzezinski propping him up after Super Tuesday, they're going to tell us what you need to hear. They're going to tell their voters, Joe's back. He's the comeback kid. although he's the oldest white guy in the race. Cut four.
Right after he won South Carolina, Joe Biden said, if you've ever been down and out, this is the campaign for you.
Well, for good reason, because just 1 week ago, Joe Biden was out of money. His organization was non-existent. His support among his base, black voters, had dropped to single digits in most polls. His pathway was cluttered by one moderate after another.
Wait, stop just a second. You got Joe Scarborough, who I was listening to Mark Levin the other day, who is the greatest commentator, podcaster, lawyer, you name it. He's an icon in the conservative movement, person on the planet. Wrote a great book recently on freedom of the press. Go get it. He was asking, what accent does Joe Scarborough have? And I would tell him, Mark, Joe has Forrest Gump's accent. Because when you listen to Joe, don't you hear, I'm not a smart man, Jenny, but I know what love is. I mean, because that's how Joe Scarborough sounds. And he's telling us that Joe was basically in a busy primary, cluttered by one moderate after another. The only problem is all of these moderates weren't moderates at all. They were progressive radicals. They don't even tip towards moderate. They were just trying to out-radicalize each other, give away more stuff, open the borders wider, and just attack our president, who is actually doing things for our country and lifting it up. But let's listen to Forrest continue.
Standing between him and the nomination, and Joe Biden was roundly being mocked as a man who had never won a single primary contest, despite the fact he'd been running for president since 1987.
Well, and the other thing is, you know, I love the commentary here. It says he ran for president in 19. He had to withdraw because he lied. But Joe's not going to tell you that. He's not going to tell you that he had been roundly mocked because he hadn't won. He's roundly mocked because he lied, because his brain's not working. Jenny, continue, Joe.
With Biden showing extraordinary strength from Texas to Massachusetts, from Alabama to Minnesota, and voter turnout in Virginia was so massive that by the end of that contest, you could see a combination of suburban voters fed up with Donald Trump and black voters wanting to believe again. Yeah. That they created a wall of support.
Oh, my gosh. Just stop. Just stop. Just stop. Black voters that wanted to believe again. You hear Mika go, yeah. I mean, do you guys practice that stuff at your house in Florida before you walk into your media room and pretend that you're somewhere that you're not, talking about things you don't understand, supporting a candidate, not because you believe in them, but because the people that write your checks tell you to? The Democrat Party has a problem. His name is Bernie Sanders. So they're going to support Joe Biden, and their propaganda wing that's supported by their establishment is going to support Joe Biden, too. They're going to tell you he's not an idiot. They're going to tell you he's not who he says he is. He's the comeback kid. But they're worried. They're worried because a lot of folks are turning out, not for Joe necessarily, but for Bernie Sanders, an avowed socialist. Bernie's a fanatic, and I love the line from Dietrich Bonhoeffer. A fanatic is one who entrenches himself in invincible ignorance. And that's what Marxists do. That's what socialists do. They entrench themselves. They wrap themselves in invincible ignorance. And you need to pay attention to history. You need to pay attention to experience. Because history will show that Marxism, communism, socialism is a disaster. And socialism is basically just communism and Marxism without an AK-47. And PJ Media, Jeff Sanders, had an interesting piece the other day, Seven Great Marxist Leaders Young Socialists Need to Know About. He talks first about Karl Marx. And he says, you really should study the history of these guys, because Karl Marx didn't create concentration camps or secret police. He just continued on from the czar that created them. And Karl Marx was someone who never had a real job in his entire life. He was rarely employed. He mooched off his parents and his in-laws and friends who had real jobs for most of their life. So it's no big stretch to understand why he is the father of the major brand of socialism. Because he never worked a day in his life. You know, like Joe Biden, like Bernie Sanders. They just live off the government. And then he talked about Vladimir Lenin. Of course, he was the leader of the Russian Revolution. The Russian people had plenty of legitimate gripes against the Tsar. So basically, they just exchanged one form of oppression for another. I mean, when Lenin took over, he ushered in the Red Terror. He would use terror and violence to strip private property from the haves and put it in the hands of the peasants. No. He put it in the hands of the peasants' committees, the hand-picked guys that would distribute what they saw fit to the have-nots after taking everything from the haves. And that didn't work out that well because starvation haunted Russia during his reign until he instituted, and history books don't, I mean, teachers don't really talk about this now, the new economic policy. And what was that? People could keep some of their property, own a business, and keep the profits. And you know what that did? It stimulated the economy towards the end of his reign, up until he died. Oh, I believe we call that capitalism. Of course, when he died, Stalin took over. Stalin, that good Russian name, means man of steel. And then you have Adolf Hitler, was another socialist monster. But he was nothing compared to Stalin, because Stalin outdid Hitler as a fanatic. He was 100% committed to Marxism, and he did that to his dying day. He followed that Marxist creed. He instituted gulags. He purged millions of people. Stalin was one of the greatest mass murderers of all time. Although he had some competition along the way, as this piece points out, Mao Zedong, Chairman Mao, his portrait still hangs on the Forbidden City overlooking Tiananmen Square, and he murdered 50 to 80 million people. And he, once he took over China, he launched his brilliant socialist / collectivist Great Leap Forward. Have you noticed how socialists love to talk about what they're going to do, never about what they've done? He wants to make a great leap forward. He wanted to, I don't know, raise the tides, change what they had. Of course, as China, as in Russia, had a great famine because of socialism. And, of course, the secret police hunted down people, put them in concentration camps, and killed them in mass numbers. So history so far has been socialism, communism, Marxism, major disaster. But then Fidel Castro came on the scene, 1926 to 2016. 1926 when he was born. But in 1959, he overthrew the dictator Fulgencio Batista. It was not long after that the Cuban people realized Castro was even worse. Now, according to Bernie Sanders, Castro did a great thing. He improved literacy. Well, no, he just taught people to read that I'm now going to kill you. Because over a million Cubans have left the island in the next few years. And more every day continue to try to leave that socialist paradise and get to Key West or America. So you have Castro, Stalin, Mao. All these are disasters. And you have old Che Guevara, someone everyone likes to wear on their T-shirt. And Che and Castro were good friends. And you know what they had in common? They hated homosexuals. Now, I don't hate homosexuals. I don't hate anybody. But they did. And they actually perfected that hate into murder and killed a lot of them. But does anyone talk about that? No, they just wear him on a T-shirt. In fact, there's a lot of LGBT communities that celebrate socialism, not understanding that it has caused the death of a lot of folks that identified like they do. We also have around that time in history Pol Pot. You know, that guy in Cambodia that killed all those people. And then there was an award-winning movie made about it called The Killing Fields. And I remember seeing it as a young man, and I recommend everyone see it. Because when you see, and it's a movie, but it's historically accurate, someone running through a field of nothing but skulls, as far as the eye can see, you realize that socialism, Marxism, communism, strip everything from people economically, and then it strips from them physically, all the way down to taking their life. But that's where we are today. See, we just had Super Tuesday. We have an avowed Marxist socialist running against basically a couple functioning neurons that aren't connecting in the proper sequence. So the Democrats are rightly to be concerned. They're rightly to be worried, because the new Democrat Party, the party of the progressive, the party of the people, are basically running to, quote, beat Donald Trump. And if you remember Trump, President Trump, when he was running, he just was running to not beat anyone, but to make America great again. And that's where we are. We have a president who has presided over massive economic gains in all sectors, all walks of life, massively low unemployment, brilliant trade deals, rebuilt our military. We are now respected on the world stage in foreign policy. You remember Rocket Man. You remember all the stuff that the mainstream media said. You see, a President Trump and a Socialist Democrat Party have really chummed the mainstream media too. The pundits have risen to the surface, and they're showing their true colors. That's why you have a mainstream media supporting a Bernie Sanders. Supporting a Joe Biden, attacking a Bernie Sanders. And they're always on attack against President Trump because they don't care about this country. They don't care about having a strong leader, because we have one now. And recent history has borne that out. No, they don't want to make America great again. They want to go back to their groups, their committees, their friends, their tea parties, their bars, and tell each other how great they are. They want to keep and maintain power, and oh, we'll worry about the little people later. But here on the scalpel, we like to cut down to the truth. We like to use our scalpel of history and experience, and the history of socialism is a train wreck. The experience people have had with socialism has been nothing short of disaster. So while the new Democrat Party wraps themselves in invincible ignorance, our president and the constitutional conservatives in this country just keep forging forward to make America great again. I need a doctor. The scalpel is sponsored by Z-Bones Headphones. Their flagship product, Z-Bones Bone Conduction Headphones, are unlike any Bluetooth listening device you have ever used. They're really amazing to hear with. Z-Bones Headphones work through bone conduction. The comfortable pads rest next to your ear, not in your ear. The sound is transmitted through the bones to your eardrum. With an open ear design, nothing is stuck in your ear, which means you maintain situational awareness or environmental awareness by hearing your surroundings. You can still hear the fullness of your music, though, or whatever podcast, hopefully ours, that you're listening to. You can even use Z-Bones while using ear protection at sporting events like races or at the shooting range. Z-Bones Bone Conduction Headphones are a Bluetooth device that work with any iOS or Android phone system or tablet, and they give you 6 hours of call time and 7 days of standby. You can put on a cap and have your Z-Bones on, and you can't even hardly tell you have anything on while you're listening to music. This is a cool headset. It's innovative technology, and I frankly love it. And I'm very happy that they've chosen to sponsor us. So go check them out. Get them at zbones.io. Use the discount code SCALPEL70 for a 10% discount. And be sure to use the Z-Bones when you're listening to the Scalpel podcast. Welcome back to the Scalpel. This is Dr. Keith Rose. Now, in the past week or so, the coronavirus has made a stronger interest onto the national stage. Not only do we have the new Democrat Party trying to decide between terrible and disaster, those are their two choices for president of the United States, we now have the coronavirus that has made its curtain call publicly. It's been out there for a while, but now everyone's starting to talk about it. And I'm finding it interesting, actually, but I'm not surprised that a mainstream media and Democrat politicians, which pretty much are the same, at least in their messaging, have jumped on the bandwagon and tried to use the coronavirus as a weapon to beat on our president and his administration so that they can protect and promote their invincible ignorance. I mean, remember, they've got to get someone to the nomination, and their choices are between terribly bad and disaster. So they've got to use everything in their arsenal to hit this president and his administration. And they've decided the coronavirus would be good to use. Now, they're not being responsible about it. They're not actually talking about what it really is and how you can prevent it. No, they're just using it as a weapon. And Grabian put together a great montage on this Cut 5.
We have a crisis of coronavirus, and President Trump has no plan.
What he's doing is late, too late, anemic.
Mr. Trump is late.
As soon as this virus started cropping up elsewhere in the world, we should have been on top of it.
Do you trust, and should Americans trust, President Trump to deal with this crisis?
No.
This is an administration that does not believe in science, and so I'm not surprised that he's completely clueless.
Look, the president we know is not a scientist, and that's a nice way to put it. He doesn't even believe in science.
This president hasn't allowed his scientists to speak. The idea that the experts are not allowed to speak, the president silenced them, Dr. Fauci.
Hold on just a second. That was Joe Biden saying the president hasn't allowed his scientists to speak. The idea that the experts are not allowed to speak, the president silenced them, Dr. Fauci. That was Joe Biden. Of course, then Dr. Fauci had something to say. Continue.
I'm not being muzzled. I was cleared here, and here I am talking to you, and I'll give you the whole truth the way I always have.
And what the doctor went on to say, what the doctor went on to say is, I always have through several presidential administrations, because Dr. Fauci's been with the CDC a long time. But the Democrats don't want you to know that. They don't want you to understand the truth. They just want to prop up their candidates and attack this president. So then Joe Biden had to get back in the fray. Continue.
I've been talking about this for a while. They don't even have a test kit.
Really, Joe? They don't even have a test kit? Is that like the test kit for 23andMe and your son Hunter?
Well, we've already tested 3,600 people here in the United States. I'm not sure what he meant when he said there's no lab kit.
You know, the idea that Donald Trump said just several days ago this was a Democratic hoax, what in God's name is he talking about? Has he no shame?
Wait, I think, Joe, that's been debunked 1,000 times. He didn't say it was a Democrat hoax. He never said that. It's been fact-checked out the wazoo. But, Joe, you know it's a lie because when your mind is functioning, it's usually lying. Continue.
We know he doesn't have the capacity or the competence to handle such moments.
I cannot think of a worse...
Do you hear that? I can't keep going on this. This Grabian clip goes on and on. You have people in the political Democrat side of the aisle going, he doesn't have the capacity. He doesn't have the competence. Well, he has the capacity and competence to take an anemic economy that the Democrats had control of in the House, Senate, and president when Barack Obama was in. And when President Trump came in, he had the capacity to, you know, raise the GDP, lower the unemployment rate to its lowest levels ever in most sectors, to raise the stock market or to have economic policies that allowed the stock market to do well, responding to his leadership. He had the capacity to institute foreign policy to keep us safe and to rebuild the military. You see, Democrats are great at saying what they're going to do and what other people haven't done. And the second part is always a lie. And the first part is also a lie. What the Democrats should just come out and do, should just come out and say, look, we want to keep and maintain power. So anyone that's in the position that we want, we're going to lie about them. We're going to tell you everything we're going to do great for you. Then we're going to get in and tell you why we can't do it. Because if you really want to understand what's going on here, You need to understand one thing. The Democrats want to create problems with no solutions so that they can grow the government larger to address these problems with no solutions. That will spawn off a whole subset of problems with no solutions, which will spawn off a larger government. President Trump comes from the private sector, however. He comes from a sector that solves problems. He doesn't need massive government to solve a problem. He just decides this is how we're going to do it, dedicates the resources for it, and expects the problem to be solved. I've said this many times. I have a lot of employees, and I tell everyone, I don't pay you to work. I pay you to solve problems. And that's what President Trump does. And the Democrats are panicked about it. And who do they think is going to solve their problems? Bernie Sanders, who would give away everything, take everything, and run this country straight down the drain like every socialist government has in every country it's ever been implemented? Or would they give it to Joe Biden, who we clearly know does not have the faculties to even find the restroom, much less raise the lid on the toilet? Yet they want to make him president? Well, sure they do, so he can be controlled by committee. But you have a press that is dishonest. It tells you that our president's cut money for funding for coronavirus, and he has it. He's put money for coronavirus. He's had the government put more money into funding it. He hasn't fired the CDC chief, and he hasn't told him to stop working. So every time the Democrats lie, the president just comes out and debunks it. But we need to get serious about the coronavirus. Do we need to panic? No. But we need to understand how viruses are transmitted first. And like I told you, I think this virus is already out of the bag. So we need to make responsible decisions on how to control this virus. And I know the CDC and I know several other medical organizations have talked about this. They've talked about the homeless epidemic and how viruses will spread at the speed of light through tent cities and homelessness. And I would just point you to where all the tent cities and homelessness are. They can be found in cities and states that are under complete Democrat control. They would also tell you that we've got to watch our borders when we're bringing in folks. Folks initially coming to the United States had to stop in Ellis Island and have a physical and actually get checked. It wasn't because this country was racist. It's because this country loved its citizens and didn't want to import any diseases that, I don't know, could wipe out a population. So we need to tighten up our borders. We need to address homelessness and not allow people to just live on the street and in tent cities. And don't tell me that we can't do that, because we did not have this homeless epidemic like it is right now prior to these massive takeovers by the Democrats in certain cities, making them sanctuary cities, making them bastions for homelessness. But the Democrats aren't serious. They're raving about the coronavirus and this president. They're not talking about the hundreds of thousands of illegal aliens that have been caught driving under the influence. And some estimates in Texas, up to 30% of the DUI fatalities have been caused by illegal aliens. But they're not talking about that. They're not talking about things that actually kill American citizens. They're not talking about things that actually have solutions, problems that can be solved to keep us safe, like cutting down on homelessness. When you had a recent article out in a Journal of Clinical Sciences that say homeless camps are infectious disease time bombs, the Democrat Party, the Democratic politicians, those that are running for nomination on the Democrat ticket aren't talking about actual solutions to the coronavirus. The pundits on mainstream media aren't talking about actual solutions that would protect American citizens, like controlling our borders, understanding who's coming in here so that we don't bring folks with not only the coronavirus, but with other diseases into our country, and then not having them run rampant in cities and in homeless shelters and in tent cities and folks living on the lawns of some people in California that can't evict them, where disease spread can go unchecked. And it already has with typhus and other diseases that we thought we had pretty much eradicated. Now, they're not talking about solutions. They're not talking about solutions to problems. No, they're just talking about creating more problems with no solutions that would create more chaos and thereby allow them to grow the government which circles us back again to the Democrat Party, socialism, and their invincible ignorance. But I thank God we have President Trump. Because President Trump has struck a chord with the American people. Now, I've heard a lot of folks try to explain the Trump phenomenon. They'll say, well, President Trump didn't win the election. Hillary lost it. I disagree with that. And I've heard a lot of conservatives say that, and I respectfully disagree. Because President Trump has tapped into something that is in the DNA of every American citizen. And that's their desire to create something, to build something better than anything else in the world. They don't want to be like other countries, like Bernie Sanders talks about, like Barack Obama talked about, like Joe Biden talks about when he's not chasing butterflies in his head. No, President Trump recognized that we're the most unique country in the world. This grand experiment worked. It wasn't because we wanted to be like everyone else. Using the Ford versus Ferrari movie, it wasn't because we wanted to make the most of a car that everyone made. It's because we wanted to do something unique, something different, and something that would transcend the ordinary and keep our country great. While Ford versus Ferrari is just a movie, it's a true story. It's a true story when a behemoth of a car maker decided to get past their size and push forward into a risk-taking arena and make something that could compete in the world. And they did, and they won the Le Mans, I think, every year from 67 to almost 70 because of Carroll Shelby and Ken Miles, two mavericks, two risk-takers that scared the crap out of everybody except themselves because they knew they had it inside them to make Ford great. Just like our president knows, he can make America great again. So I'm going to set this up for you. They're in the boardroom. Henry Ford II sitting there. Leo Baby, played by Josh Lucas, is this arrogant special vehicles PR specialist guy that knows everything. And he's real smug and comfortable in his corporate environment. And he's talking to a brash young Lee Iacocca, who has stood up and said, we have to do something different. And Leo's not having any of it, but Lee Iacocca has something to say. So we're going to start it. Leo's going to tell Lee Iacocca what he thinks, and then Lee Iacocca is going to drive the idea home to Mr. Ford. Cut 9.
We need to think like Ferrari.
Ferrari makes fewer cars in a year than we make in a day. We spend more on toilet paper than they do on their entire output. You want us to think like them.
Enzo Ferrari will go down in history as the greatest car manufacturer of all time. Why? Is it because he built the most cars? No. It's because of what his cars mean. Victory. Ferrari wins at Le Mans. People, they want some of that victory. Now, what if the Ford badge meant victory?
At that moment, Henry Ford II sat up in his seat and paid attention. And from that meeting led to the hiring of Carroll Shelby, Ken Miles, and the development of the Ford Mustang Shelby Cobra, one of the greatest cars ever made. See, Henry Ford II had everything, but he wanted to be identified with victory. President Trump pretty much had everything before he became president, but he loves this country, and he identified with this country as victory. He knew America was great, and he saw it headed in the wrong direction, and he wanted to make America great again. He basically is telling the American people, let's identify with victory. Let's identify with winning. Now, while I'm using this to play off this movie, it's an important point. Our president stepped into the limelight and stepped down from his position to fight for this nation to make it great again. because he believes in victory. He believes in winning, not for himself, for the American people. Now contrast that against the invincible ignorance of a Joe Biden, a Bernie Sanders, Democrat politicians, Nancy Pelosi, Chuck Schumer, who don't identify with victory for our nation and its citizens, but victory for their party, their ideology, and their agenda. Go out and have a great rest of your week. I'm going to try to get another podcast out tomorrow. We'll see how my surgery schedule goes. But pay attention to what's going on with the Democrats. Watch their invincible ignorance try to push forward and get one of their failed candidates elected. But don't buy it. Don't be afraid. Stand with our president. Stand with the United States of America. And let's just keep it great again. And always, most importantly, let's keep freedom rolling.
Head high, protest line. Freedom scribbled on your sign. Headline, New York Times. Standing on the edge of a revolution. Hey, hey, just obey. Your secret's safe with the NSA. In God we trust or the CIA. Standing on the edge of a revolution.
The Scalpel with Dr. Keith Rose.
The Scalpel is proudly sponsored by Z-Bones Bone Conducting Headphones. Learn more at zbones.io. Subscribe to The Scalpel wherever you listen to podcasts. Follow us on Instagram at The Scalpel Podcast, on Twitter at The Scalpel Edge, or the website scalpeledge.com.